Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach Trip Lanier.
Ever get fired up to make a shift and then lose that mojo a few days later? Do you believe you'll be able to do what you really want only after you've found success? And have you realized that constantly criticizing yourself isn't really making a difference? Today, we're going to talk about simple ways for you to get clarity around where you're headed, what you want, and what to do so you can stay focused and follow through. Welcome to The New Man. Today we're talking again with Brian Johnson, my good friend, and the I guess you're kind of like the resident badass philosopher extraordinaire on The New Man. So welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man. Excited to chat.
Yeah. So today I wanted to we're talking strategy sessions. We're talking what I call a personal strategy meeting. And you and I, we had dinner a few weeks ago or something. We were hanging out and you kind of went over this thing that you do. You do it every day. And just basically kind of orients everything in your life, all of the efforts that you're doing and your focus and everything. And I realized that I do this too with my own coaching clients, but it's not common. It's not something that we all do or that we all do normally. It may be kind of accepted more in like a business style or a business setting, but we're not doing it on a life level and then expanding that out into the whatever we're doing in the world. So tell us a little bit about what you do every day to kind of get this focus for the day and then how that influences everything that you do for the weeks and months and years ahead.
Yep. Right on. Well, that was a fun chat and I loved your approach as well. And I'm really excited to kind of explore these ideas. So for me, I've done it every day in the past. Right now I'd say I'm doing it probably minimum 3-4 times a week, mm-hmm. as much as 5 or 6, kind of varies. And what I'm writing on a day-to-day basis isn't always the same, but they kind of, I tend to have similar components. And depending on what I'm feeling I need to kind of groove into, I'll spend more energy on if it's business or creative or whatever. But for me, what I've learned is that it's just super important to be clear on what's important to me. And it's really easy to take some stuff for granted. And after a day or two or three, kind of get confused with why was I so excited about that? And what am I so committed to? So just the consistency of the practice has been something that I've seen to be really powerful for me to kind of keep that intention, that compass at the top of my mind. And I've filled up dozens and dozens of journals over the last several years. And it's I think one of the most powerful practices I have.
I want to interrupt you right there because I think that point is so important that we can have this kind of aha moment and like, oh yeah, that's what I really want to do with my life. And then like you said, 2-3 days later, it starts to get dull. Like, what was that about? So why it seems like, you know, we can't take it for granted that we're going to always be able to go back to that aha moment or that turning point and remember yep. what this was all about. Is that
totally
what you're saying?
exactly what I'm saying. And the reality is that that's always going to happen. And it's not just going to be a memory issue. It's going to be a, you're inspired and you've got that state experience of, oh, wow, I could just feel that. This is what I want to create, whether it's entrepreneurially or, you know, in my health or in relationship. And you're inspired and you can feel that. It's just a download or whatever you want to call it. It just feels right. And you know, it's what you're here to do in this next phase of your life. And then time can elapse, but then also the fear gremlins kind of march in, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, who was that guy that came up with all that stuff, you know? And there's this sense of just a disorientation from that inspiration that happens when we get back into the flow of life, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I just, this is like this, that state experience, right? It's that state experience that whether we go to a workshop or we talk to somebody and have a really cool conversation and we leave that place like, oh yeah, everything's so crystal clear and I know what I need to do now, but it's like, and we can get jaded by that, right? Yep. It's like, oh, well, since I don't feel that any way anymore, it must not mean that it was important. That sounds like a trap we could fall into.
Totally. Or I'm just an idiot and I should stop dreaming and stop getting fired up. And of course, you know, we're both huge fans of Ken Wilber and his work. And he, this is one of the biggest ideas I got from his work, that idea of, roughly speaking, states and stages or states and traits. So it's easy to get inspired in a journaling session or on a weekend workshop or at a yoga retreat or whatever it is that we're doing, right?
Yep.
And it's an entirely different thing to translate that state experience of inspiration into a way of being. And, you know, this idea of really taking the time in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it winds up being, once, you know, three times, five times every day of the week, allows us to, it's a powerful tool to translate that inspiration into a consistent way of being and acting. So,
yeah. I love the whole element of practice, because on my end, I'm working with guys in the trenches where I'm coaching one-on-one, and I see so many guys beat themselves up like, man, I just can't stick to anything. Mm-hmm. I just can't seem to hold on to that focus. And it's like, well, you're not
welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome to the club. It takes work. And so it's just like, absolutely, that part of it, maintaining that focus or maintaining that clarity is something that takes discipline. It takes, even if, you know, for guys that are disciplined, it yep. still takes this daily practice to come back to it and say, yeah, what was that all about? And actually, I get like this embodiment, like this feeling yep. like, yeah, that's what it's about.
Totally. And then this is a really, really important theme, because it kind of touches on this idea of perfection. And, you know, I personally, and we all, I think, look at people we admire and think they just get there effortlessly. And that's a really dangerous place to play. And George Leonard, who wrote Mastery, which we've talked about, I'm sure, on this show in the past, talks about the idea that we need to embrace what the path of mastery actually looks like. And it isn't a straight uphill, awesome, everything is great
right.
expedition. It's, you know, sometimes you're taking two steps forward and then slide back one step. Sometimes you're sliding back two steps and then taking a step forward to get back to where you, almost back to where you were, you know?
Right.
And embracing that and realizing that that's what it's all about, especially when you're pushing your edges, that of course you're going to fall down at times. The issue isn't, did you fall down or did you make a mistake? The issue is, are you making enough mistakes and having the courage to move through them and then build in the consistency of, you know, practices around the fundamentals we always talk about and moving forward in the face of that fear and doubt and kind of lack of inspiration.
Yeah, I think this is a good kind of wrapper or container to have this discussion, because it really starts to address those fear gremlins that come in, or maybe some of the other voices of resistance that I can't hold my focus, you know, I'm not as excited about it as I used to be, or man, I screwed up and therefore you know, I didn't get it right. I'm not perfect. I'm not like so-and-so, or I'm not like this guy, which is all bullshit anyway. Yep. It's just like, so therefore I can't follow through. These are all just crappy stories that we tell ourselves. So what we're sharing today is these, what I call personal strategy meetings, are these things to come back to every day and to get that focus and to get that, okay, what is this all about? What's this all in service of? And what's most important? What am I going to do today? That yep. kind of thing. So I think we got off track there a little bit, but I'm glad we went down this road. But let's throw it back to you. And yep. what do you actually do when you sit down to do this little process?
Yeah. So for me, I have this cool kind of journal/sketchbook, and I open up new page where I've got kind of the left facing and the right facing page. And then oftentimes the first thing I write down might sound a little bit weird or silly, but I say today's going to be another amazing day, and just set that intention. Today's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to have a great day today, and just making that clear. And then I might reflect on some things I'm grateful for and things that are inspiring me. And then, as you know, my big thing is virtue. It's cultivating the virtues that I'm committed to embodying in those kind of being goals, which for me form the basis of all the other things I'm going to do and create and have in my life. Mm-hmm. And those is just a quick refresher on that. This comes from the positive psychology idea of signature strengths. And what they realized was all cultures across all time, and now modern day science is proving that if you want to be happy, you've got to live with virtue. And they translated they had about 24 different virtues that they've translated into, I should say, 6 different virtues they translated into 24 different strengths. Okay. Ranging from, my top strengths are kindness and generosity, courage, creativity, hope and optimism, energy and enthusiasm, and wisdom. Those are my 6 top signature strengths, is what Martin Seligman and those guys and women call the virtues in action, right? And you can take the test at authentichappiness.org and discover a scientifically valid discovery of what your signature strengths are. And the idea is very simple. You want to embody these strengths, these virtues, consistently in your day-to-day life. To the extent you do that, you will be significantly happier than the version of you that doesn't do that, which is a good thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's for a lot of guys that they're actually missing this key ingredient of what is this all for? It may be assumed, yeah, happiness or whatever, but for a lot of guys, they're just like, I've got to pay my bills. I got to make sure my kid is picked up at whatever time. They're not actually keeping their eye on the prize, especially on a daily basis of, oh yeah, I'm doing all of this to be happy, to have that sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, to flourish, as I love that term that you brought up the other day in our talk. So, okay, so go ahead.
Well, this is awesome. And I really appreciate you underscoring that point, because Tal Ben-Shahar describes happiness as the ultimate currency. It's why you do anything. Why you go to work, so you can pay the bills, to take care of your family, to express yourself creatively, because you want to experience more happiness in your life. Now, what's interesting is most of us think that when we achieve success, we will be happy. But there's actually very, very weak, no causal relationship between success and happiness. It's actually the exact opposite. Wow. Happiness causes success. Tal Ben-Shahar goes off on this, and it's actually just amazing. So cultivating our virtues so that we're living with more consistent happiness is actually the best way to make sure that we're successful.
That is huge. Right? I have to underscore that again, that happiness comes first, and then success is a product of that happiness. But you know, here in America, we're chasing that summit. We're going to get to that up on that hill one day, and we're going to plant the flag, and that's when everything's going to be cool. And you're saying it's the exact opposite, right?
Literally. Yeah. And then we can have a long conversation, which we probably don't want to have right now, on all the different factors of success that are just so wrong and actually take us away from being even successful in the sense that we're talking about. So yeah, it's backwards.
Okay.
Cultivate happiness, you know? So in terms of the personal strategy meeting, that's what I start my day with. I recognize and I journal down. I literally say I'm cultivating these virtues, and I write down what I just described to you. And I like to say to guys and women, someone should be able to wake you up at 2 a.m. and ask you in the middle of your deep sleep, what are your top strengths? What are the virtues you're cultivating? Because it's such an underlying foundational component to our overall happiness, and again, therefore success. So I write that down, and then I write down quickly the things I'm committed to getting rid of. So I'm committed to cultivating certain virtues, and I'm committed to getting rid of certain vices, if you will. Criticizing, complaining, impatience, gossiping, blaming, those sorts of things I want to remove from my being and who I am. Okay. That's basically how I start nearly every one of my journal sessions. And that's kind of the top third of the right-facing page in my little 2-page journal layout. And then, you know, one of the things we talked about in our chat the other day, that's a big part of how I approach my own little strategy meetings, is this idea of dynamic tension. So imagining that you have a rubber band that's being kind of stretched between the pointer finger of your left hand and the pointer finger of your right hand. You're stretching out that rubber band, and there's a tension there between your ideal, the goal that you're moving toward, and your current reality. So I draw a little symbol of kind of a 45-degree angle, upward facing rubber bandy thing, which is really just an oblong, whatever you call that shape thing, right?
Got it.
And then I look at, okay, what's my top goal right now? What am I working toward? And right now it happens to be the academy that we're working on together, and we're really excited about that. And I articulate roughly, okay, well, what am I working toward? Oh, we want to launch it successfully over the next 4 months, end of the year. And that's going to be about 25 classes. This is what we want to see. Okay, great. And I can get that in my mind if that's what I'm working toward right now. That's my number one. Mm-hmm. Everything that I do, I want to align against that number one to the extent that I can. And then at the base of that, that would be on the upper part of that rubber band little stretchy deal. That's my goal. And then the current reality, I come back to, well, what actions am I going to take? What am I going to do today to move in the direction of that goal? And again, for me, it doesn't start with I'm going to write the business plan, or I'm going to email this person, or I'm going to do this. It starts with what we often talk about as the fundamentals, right? So my action is actually starts with getting up, meditating, eating well, exercising, and taking the time to do things like this. My fundamentals are in place. So I've got my virtues as kind of the higher level things I'm cultivating. And then I have my fundamentals. And on that foundation, I can translate the inspiration of the state experience into a consistent way of being. Yeah. And then I can look at what actually needs to get done.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I want to talk about the fundamentals real quick, because, you know, you've been guiding me and helping me along the way, just as a bro, through some of the ups and downs that I've been in. And you usually come back to, are you doing your fundamentals? And I freaking know this stuff, but I come back to it, and it's like, oh yeah, when things get hectic and it feels upside down for me, then there's no time. There's no time and energy. I've got to be focused on X, Y, Z, this like direct challenge in front of me. And how are we supposed to really give it our all if we're not doing the fundamentals, if we're not putting gas in the tank and really preparing ourselves and giving ourselves the option or the opportunity to show up as our best selves? That's so big. And when I'm coaching with guys and talking about it, they're just like, Yeah. I'll get back to that. That stuff's later on, but really it's called the fundamentals for a reason. You don't go to the next level without doing this first one.
Yeah. Let's hammer that home. Cause I don't think there's anything more important, to be honest with you. I mean, this to me is the most important thing. Cause signature strengths, virtues. Yeah, that's nice, but that's kind of more theoretical, mm-hmm. and we can find ways to embody them, but the fundamentals are what it's all about. And just a few really quick stories on that. One, Robin Sharma, one of my favorite teachers and a friend who wrote The Greatness Guide, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, and great books like that. He says in studying greatness and studying great people, that what people do varies. An athlete will do certain things and a CEO will do different things, but they all share something in common, which is consistency on their fundamentals. They've identified what's most important for them to do consistently and they do it, period. The best performers will do that. And for me, I've identified my meditation practice, my nutrition, my exercise and training regimen, and my gratitude, which we'll talk about a little bit later, as those are my fundamentals. Mm-hmm. If I want to be world-class at what I do, then I've got to honor those, period. That's like being a baseball player and not showing up for hitting practice. It's just an idiotic thing to do.
Right.
You know, if I want to demonstrate what I want to create in the world and who I want to be, I've got to do my fundamentals. So that's huge. And then the Dalai Lama says the busier he is in any given day, the more stressed he is, the more time he takes to meditate. Mm. You could say, oh, that's the Dalai Lama. But if you actually think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Because if you've got a lot of stuff going on and you're at your edge and you're super stressed out, that's when I work even harder on my fundamentals. That's when you got to make sure you don't miss your exercise. That's when you got to make sure you aren't eating shit. That's when you got to make sure you're actually taking the time, if meditation is something you've committed to take the 10 to 12 to 15 minutes, because you're already out of control. You know,
you
need to find that centered point. And you're just in trouble if you think you're so busy that you don't have time to do this stuff. That's like the number one indicator that you absolutely need to find the 15, 30, 45 minutes, 60 minutes to do the exercise, the meditation, whatever. And the fact is, we're all blowing 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is a day. I don't care how busy you are. We all have space in our schedule to create some efficiencies and to point into this. And one other little fun thing, just to bring the point home, John Wooden, favorite, one of my favorite guys, obviously coach at UCLA. ESPN said he was the greatest coach in the 20th century or ever, right? Just amazing. Right. So he worked with the best athletes of their generation at UCLA. Yeah. Before he even let them get onto the court, he taught them how to put on their socks. Before he'd even let them shoot a basket, he'd get them all around and he'd teach them exactly how they should put on their socks, the fundamentals. Because if they couldn't put on their socks right, they'd get a little wrinkle in it. They might get a blister, which would keep them out of practice, which would let them, not be as efficiently trained for the game, et cetera, et cetera. So I look at it that way, that we've got to figure out how to put on our socks. And if we can't do that right, and we can't take care of ourselves nutrition wise, exercise wise, gratitude wise, then we're just running around and we're not going to be efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so big. And I want to speak up for the guy out there, because I have a tendency to beat myself up if I'm not getting it right, or I'm not perfect. And so this is not in the spirit of you're not doing enough and you need to be doing more. It's more of like, hey, do what will help you. Figure out the things that are going to help you show up the best and honor that, like really start to get like, wow, if I want the best version of me to show up today, I've got to help myself. I've got to be the one that says, hey, this is what needs to happen before anything else. And so you got a leg up. And it's just like, yeah, we may not be professional baseball players or some other kind of professional athlete in that sense. But there are things that we can do every day in terms of practice and discipline that'll help the best version of us show up, because every day is game day under that kind of a mentality. So yeah, totally. It's about giving yourself a leg up. It's about doing, you got to be the one to support you. And so have a sense of humor about it, but also really recognize that this is doing what's best for you.
Yeah. And then obviously we want to find that fine line. We don't want to be beating ourselves up. Right. And I love to use the image of the albino monk in the Da Vinci Code, it doesn't make any sense to whip. Right? That's not the path we're talking about here, but there's also a healthy level of harshness, and there's a healthy level of, dude, you got to step up. And it's not about doing five things. It's about pick the one thing. If it's exercising five times a week, or quitting eating the stuff that imbalances you, or surfing the internet for 3 hours a day, or whatever it is, that you just, the number one thing that if you changed in your life would have the most positive impact, which is another thing I journal often, especially when I'm stressed. I come in and I say, what's the number one thing I've got to start doing more of? And that, it's healthy to have that level of, okay, I'm shooting myself in the foot every morning by not doing this, and I know that, and I'm going to step up and I'm going to make that commitment. It's going to be 100% commitment, and I'm going to do that. And there's that power, that we get, which is on this side of beating ourselves up, right? Mm-hmm. By making those commitments. And then we feel the benefits of it both psychologically and physiologically and otherwise as we cultivate those practices.
Yeah, we need a little kick in the ass to get out of the rut. There's got to be some kind of a force that will get us moving. And so I love how you said it, on this side, being on this side of kicking your own ass, beating yourself up. So, all right. Yep. And so after the fundamentals, what comes next in your little process?
I mean, that's the bulk of kind of the fundamentals, if you will, of what I do. That's kind of, that shows up whenever I'm doing this. And then I may dance more deeply into the creative side of whatever I'm doing. With the academy, I'll kind of articulate it more, and I've got a certain way of describing it that kind of stokes that little flame. So we talked about inspiration and making that a part of who we are. So I'll remind myself, oh, okay, cool. This idea, the Entheos Academy, is about having world-class authors share their wisdom, and teachers share their wisdom and optimal living. We're going to do it in 10 different domains, and I'll write that down, and I'll kind of impress upon my consciousness that vision of what I'm creating and not let it slip away. Because a week later, again, we can have that conversation of, why was I so excited about that?
Right, right.
So just jotting that down is huge for me. That's kind of the bulk of the right side of the page. And then one of the things that I do often, but I'm actually inspired by just thinking about our chat today, excited to make this an absolute part of what I do on a daily basis. I've done it at times, but I'm not currently doing it every day, but I will. which is, as we've talked about before, gratitude and reflecting on the things that are working really well is an important part of our personal strategy meetings. We've got to see what's working in our lives, and we've got to incline our minds to that. That's how we have the confidence to step forward and to take risks and to do the things that we know we need to do, where it's not a beating ourselves up. It's truly an excited, inspired approach.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's the gratitude stuff that we talked about in prior chats, but gratitude kind of squared is a new idea from that I'm doing now from Martin Seligman's book Flourish, where he says, try this out. Sit down at the end of the day today, jot down three things that went well today. It's called the what went well today exercise. Three things that went well today. And next to each one, write down why. So three things that went well and why. And what you're doing there is you're kind of cultivating this gratitude muscle and this sense of power, because you have a sense of, oh, well, I had a great meeting with so-and-so. It was awesome. We talked about this and that, and this ball is moving forward. It's great. Why did that meeting go well? Well, you think about it. Well, because I've been preparing, you know, and I set up the meeting and I was confident, and you feel, I have goosebumps right now. You feel good, right? You're like, yeah, you know,
yeah.
That's why it went well.
Well, it also forces us to see, what was my part in it? Like to take risk, that it wasn't just some magical event. Oh, the rainbow, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like, yeah, this went well because, like I said, I prepared for it, or, you know, I did my homework, or I took a chance. I was vulnerable, exactly. Whatever it is. We get to see the fruits of our labor, so to speak. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I'm exactly what I'm saying. And that's exactly it. You feel a sense of power and responsibility, and you cultivate both the gratitude and the appreciation for the things that are working rather than the obsession on the things that aren't, right? And you realize, wow, I'm doing this stuff. This is great. And when I do this, good things happen. Mm. Let me do that more often.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a subconscious part of who you are. So priming that on a daily basis is something that is a huge, huge practice that, like I said, I've done it I've done it at times consistently and other times infrequently. And I'm excited to bring that back into my own personal practice because it's just huge.
Right on. Right on. Excellent. Excellent. So what else would you, anything else to wrap up about your personal strategy meeting?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because then there's the, okay, what needs to get done? And I often journal the now what needs to be done. And I'll write that down like five times. Now what needs to be done? Now what needs to be done? Now what needs to be done? And also baby steps, and really emphasize, okay, we've set up this, you know, the virtues and the fundamentals and the big vision we're excited about, or the goal that we're moving toward. But then we want to cultivate an action orientation, an action bias. And that's the most important part of any strategy meeting, is to be able to leave with an action bias. So I may set a few things that I want to get done that day. I'm not a big to-do list guy.
Right.
I usually have some big things that I'm working on and moving toward and things in my schedule. But what I do want to do is cultivate continually this bias action. So whenever I'm feeling stressed, I want the question in my mind to be, now what needs to be done? It might be doing the dishes, you know, and just getting out of that rut rather than wasting an hour doing something stupid. Or it might be send this email or clear out your inbox or whatever it is that's the most productive thing needs to get done, and remembering that in any given moment, there's only one thing that needs to get done. And asking ourselves that question can take us out of overwhelm and being stressed about the big picture and bring us into a sense of action. And as we take that action, we tend to build momentum and the confidence grows and all that stuff, whether or not we're feeling inspired before we started doing it.
Excellent. Excellent. Very cool. Anything else that you add to that? Because that's where you're now in action mode. Now the next action is available, and then you're off and running. Is that right?
Exactly. And then it's, let's go have a great day and make it happen.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I do want to share what I work with and work with my, clients, and I want to steal some stuff from yours and like integrate it in here because it's right really on. Good stuff. But for what I recommend is to step back and recognize these three different mindsets. And I pulled this from Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth Revisited, which is actually more of a business book, but he talks about why most businesses fail, that they don't have, whoever's leading them doesn't have these three mindsets available. So it really applies to our own personal life. It starts with the visionary. What's this all about? The high level, the guy that's got the plan and the guy that's connected to what's most important. After that is the manager. The manager supports the entrepreneur. He's there to devise a plan and to look at the resources and kind of figure out the nuts and bolts of things. And then underneath that is the technician or the soldier, the guy that just gets in there, gets in the trenches and gets shit done. So I look at this personal strategy meeting and just start with that visionary. What's this all for? And I think it's so important that we come back to, it's really about our happiness, and you can call it, you know, what's this in service of? That's a great, great way to look at it. What's this in service of? It could be more joy or love or connection or freedom to feel alive, to feel at peace, the fulfillment, satisfaction. I get, you know, a lot of guys talk about, I want to live up to my potential. You use that word, to flourish. But really, if we've lost touch with that, then really we're not on course. We've lost this North Star. So for that visionary, we need that North Star. So what are those words that, those experiences that work for you with that? And then we start to break it down. It could be from a life coaching perspective. It could be, okay, what's the path to these experiences with regards to my body, with regards to career, with regards to relationships or family or sex, spirituality, my sense of self. I like to break those down into individual categories. Those can be the focus for coaching for a week or a month or whatever, and to come back to and realize, hey, have I just let this part of my life go, or am I addressing it? And is it in service of, is my body in service of, or is my relationship in service of helping me flourish or to be happier? So, but underneath this is the visionary. You've got to have this muscle of desire. You've got to be aware of what you want. And one of the most powerful practices out there is to just simply take 5 minutes a day and do a brain dump of, okay, what do I want? And it could be anything from what you want to eat that day, to what you want to wear, to, you know, what you want to build, who you want to hang out with. It doesn't matter. I just like to get that muscle churning and get out of this reactive, bitching, blaming kind of mindset. And just start to get fired up. So if you were, you know, someone woke you up at 2 a.m. and you could list your signature strengths, you'd also be able to tell them, yeah, this is what I also stand for. This is what I want in my life too. So is that making sense so far?
Oh yeah, man. Love it.
Okay, cool. So after the vision comes the manager. He's the guy that's going to start to break this down into a step-by-step plan. And so a lot with coaching is about results and getting from A to B. And this is where we start to define what those measurable outcomes would be. And it's really about working from where you are, because you can get into overwhelm, especially if you wanted to address every area of your life, or you're going to build your entire business in a week. It's really coming back to one of your things that you keep coming to is this consistency versus intensity. So what's most important now? What's most important this month, or what's most important this week? And then to break that down, and what's most important today? And I recommend it's got to be clean, it's got to be clear, it's got to be measurable, and it's got to have a deadline, or else it just doesn't get done. In my book, it just doesn't get done. So from there, we can start to get into to-do lists. And I'm not a big fan of these either, but I like a checklist. I like to know where I am on that. So if you can break steps down into measurable actions, he's like, okay, I'm lost again. Where am I? Okay, now I've got this list to come back to. So your inner soldier or your inner technician is going to be in there knocking this stuff out. And your job is to eliminate distractions. You come back to this list, or you come back to this practice and say, wow, this other stuff that I'm doing, whether I'm online or I'm checking this website or I'm, you know, hanging out over here, it's not ultimately in service of this outcome, which means it's not ultimately in service of my overall happiness. So we can trace how the actions we're taking each day are going to be in service and bringing greater joy, greater happiness into our lives. So, and then this is probably the most important question on all of this. It keeps us from falling into the rat racer mentality is, what am I going to do today that will nourish me? In other words, what am I going to do today that will help me experience happiness and joy and love and satisfaction? So it's not that my happiness and well-being is out there sitting on top of some mountain. It's something that I can do today. And I think that there's so many ways that we can experience this on a daily basis, whether it's a gratitude practice or going out and having fun and playing. But there's no need for us to wait for the good stuff. We can experience that today. So that's kind of in a nutshell, from the visionary to the manager to the technician. And really, just if you were to take that time every day and just orient yourself around what matters most, what's most important to get done today, and overall, you know, for the vision that I've got for the next weeks and months and years. And then, okay, this is the clean, these are the one or two things that are most important today. I've found that we just ultimately are more satisfied. We're ultimately more fulfilled. Instead of doing 20 things that don't matter, doing two things that do brings a greater sense of satisfaction and peace and well-being. So I invite the guys out there to give that a shot.
That's awesome, dude. I love it.
Yeah. We might have to come up with the master, the master personal strategy. I'm curious to see, I'd love to hear from the listeners, what they end up putting together and seeing what works for them. But just bringing this kind of attention on a daily basis will do amazing things for your life. So.
Totally. And then being fluid with it and taking, you know, cause we've just dumped a lot of ideas on the table, and one or two, maybe three probably really resonated, and they were probably really different for different people who are listening right now. And in my own practice, it's very much an evolution where, you know, there's certain things that just work. I just really like to do this. This makes me feel like I'm clear and I can be in integrity and I'm moving forward. And, but it's been an evolution. So I think it's just a matter of, as with anything, sit down and start doing it. Mm. You know, look at your visionary, your manager, your tactician, and who's playing what, who's showing up and who's not showing up. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And see where that is and what other things are kind of resonant, and just let it evolve. I think that's been a big lesson that I've learned over the years as well.
Absolutely. Take the pieces that we've laid out here today for you and start working with them. What are the things that you, when you were listening, that went like, oh yeah, that would be good. Maybe there was a one or two that was like, oh man, that would be, cause that may be the thing you need to call on that manager or that visionary, the guy that's not showing up, like you said. That we may move away from the muscles that need the work the most. So, be honest with yourself and be willing to play with this. That's what I would just recommend that. So, you've been talking a lot about the Academy. Let's talk about that a little bit, because we've got the new man course that's coming up. So tell us a little bit about the Academy.
Academy, just super excited about that. And, you know, quick context on that. You interviewed Stephen Pressfield, right after I sent you his book, said, you got to read The War of Art, right?
Yeah.
You guys connected. You said you need to connect with Steve. And, you know, I had our breakfast, we hit it off. And he basically asked me if I'd ever considered creating a university, a modern day Socrates or Plato's Academy. And we talked about it, went back and forth. And I said, well, you know, one thing I know for sure, if I created something like that, is I'd have you, Stephen Pressfield, teach a class on creativity. No question about it. That'd be amazing, right? 10 years ago, me, today, me, I'd just love to hear from him on what, you know, basically bringing the war of art to life, right? And all of his wisdom to life. And you and I had already talked about working together maybe a week or two before that. And we're talking about producing a course, and we were, you know, super excited about that. And things just kind of came together. We realized, wow, there's really an awesome opportunity here to create something special. And the basic idea is, why is it that we went from science to math to history, but literally somehow missed the class on how to live? Where was that class?
Right.
You know, it's no sense that it didn't exist. And so what we're doing is working with world-class teachers to help them share their wisdom and optimal living. We've got 10 different domains we think go into creating an extraordinary life. And if you're going to create a university or a virtual academy, what would it look like? It would have roughly these 10 domains. Nutrition, we think it starts with nutrition, health, and well-being. If you have a hard time getting out of bed, you're going to have a hard time living into your potential. So we're working with world-class functional medicine doctors, nutrition experts, some great people on that front. And then the second one is positive psychology. As you know, I'm a huge fan of the science of happiness and wisdom. Actually talking to Tal Ben-Shahar. We've got a woman named Heidi Grant Halverson, who's just amazing, going to be teaching some classes. And then the third domain is creativity. So we're really excited about that. Stephen Pressfield, excited about producing a course with him probably early next year. We've got one of the world's greatest creativity coaches and therapists teaching a course. Then we've got leadership and self-development, which is where the new man comes in, kind of a general, how do we go out there and rock it, right? And obviously your course is how do we move beyond the macho jerk and the new age wimp? In over 8 weeks, have you shared the best that you know, in this interactive discussion with the Q&A and all that good stuff.
Right.
So that principle. Then really quickly, the other ones are relationships and sexuality. You just interviewed Nicole, right? You just shared that
right.
one.
Right.
So how cool would it be to understand the mechanics and the details of slow sex. She's going to be teaching I'm not sure how long that one is, a 5-6 week course on bringing that aspect of our lives to life. So really excited about that. Parenting is another one. And then we've got meditation, mindfulness, spirituality. We've got conscious wealth, conscious business, some great teachers on that front. And then politics, sustainability, and activism. 10 domains that we think go into creating an extraordinary life. And all the goodness launches this fall, and super excited about it.
Man, I'm psyched. I'm psyched to be a part of it. But I'm also just, you know, as you've been emailing me and you're telling me who's on board, and I'm just like, gosh, this is so cool. This is what I've been wanting the whole time. This is why I even started The New Man. It's just like, I've got to go talk to these people and find out what is the best stuff, what really works. What's the, you know, this is the cutting edge. This is what really matters and what really can be applied in this day and age where we don't have to sift through 300 pages. We can just talk right to the person or have them interact with us and talk with them and ask them questions. That's the other best part of this, this approach, is that you can get on the call and talk to them. Yep. So I love that aspect of it, and I'm fired up. I'm honored to be a part of it. And I'm just fired up to talk about The New Man. These are, in terms of the course that I'm delivering, it's just like, what are the biggest ideas over the course of doing over 100 episodes and coaching and leading workshops and teaching? What are the biggest ideas that keep coming up over and over again that have the greatest impact? And then on top of that, what are the best practices? So mm-hmm. I'll be leading guys over the course of 8 weeks. Women are invited too, but they're going to sneak in under the radar anyway. So they just change their name and, oh yeah, this is Steve. Yeah, Steve. But anyway, so, but for guys out there, this is going to be, you know, how to get out of a rut, how to avoid traps, relationships, inner game, like, you know, your own relationship with yourself. So we'll be talking about things like what we talked about today, where personal strategy meetings, but just delivering a ton of value every week. And then you'll have the opportunity to talk with me as well. So yeah. I'm just psyched to deliver this, man.
Yeah, we're fired up. I mean, your course is going to be awesome. And just to be able to bring your energy into what we're doing, we're just thrilled. So, and again, just your kind of inspiration and vision and connecting to Steve. I mean, this is really the root of it all. So big thanks. And just fired up to be playing together.
All right, man. That feels good. I wish I could. I'll take that credit, but it's tough, man, because it just feels like it was going to just explode out of you anyway. So this is great to be a part of it. So so if you're interested, if you want to learn more about the New Man Life course, just simply go to thenewmanlife.com. Again, that's thenewmanlife.com, and you'll see the course page, and you can register there for the course. And then, Brian, where do they go if they want to learn about all the other courses that are part of the academy?
Yeah, so go into that link will bring you to the course for Tripp's class, The New Man, and then you'll be on our general site. So you can sign up for that course and see what other classes we have going on, different links that are at the top of that site. But it's basically entheosacademy.com, which is ENTHEOS, entheosacademy.com. But the easiest way to get there is just to go to thenewmanlife.com, and then you'll be on Tripp's page. You can sign up for that class if you're feeling it, and then see all the other courses and professors we've got going on.
This talk was packed with practical tips, so let's get a high-level view of the takeaways. Number one, having a daily personal strategy meeting keeps you connected with what you really want, where you want to go, and what is inspiring you to take action. It keeps you from getting stuck in a rut. It keeps you from getting hijacked by the fear gremlins. If you can't seem to stay focused or follow through, then have a personal strategy meeting every day. You'll walk away knowing what's most important to you and what needs to be done next. Waiting for inspiration to strike before taking action is for amateurs, so turn pro. Number two, we can't expect to have a big aha moment sustain our feelings and the actions to follow through over a longer period of time. We've got to continuously revisit what got us inspired. Again, don't wait for inspiration to strike before taking action. Number three, success is a product of your happiness. I'm going to repeat that. Success is a product of your happiness. Many of us have that flipped. Many of us are waiting to do the things that feed us until after we've reached some sort of success. That's a recipe for misery. Instead, do what feeds you every day. Do what strengthens you every day. Don't put your fulfillment on the summit of some mountain. Do what feeds you. Do what makes you happy today. And with discipline, success will follow. Number four, let's talk about discipline. It's crazy to think that we can show up as our best selves without it. It makes sense that athletes will do their fundamentals, but what about you? Ask yourself if you're doing the simple, most fundamental practices to make sure the best version of you shows up each day. And if you're not, get clarity on what those fundamentals are. From my experience, it includes the basics: eating right, getting enough sleep, exercising, and doing some sort of meditation or mental grounding practice. So let's do an experiment. Take note of how you feel in this very moment. Now, make a solid commitment to do these fundamental practices without fail every day just for the next 7 days. Now, after those 7 days, check back in with yourself. Without changing your bank account, without changing your job or your love life, I believe you will have made a significant improvement in your overall sense of well-being. Do it for yourself and see. Bottom line is that you'll be better prepared and in a better mental state to create the life you really want. Number five, remember what this is all about. Most of the time, we're only focused on whatever squeaky wheel needs the grease. Zoom out. Look at your life. Are you orienting your decisions and actions towards true happiness? Towards more fun and connection with others? More satisfaction? More fulfillment? If you cannot see how your daily actions are moving you in this direction, if you're only surviving, then you're just digging yourself into a deeper hole. It's time to take the lead. Create a vision of what you truly want and find a way, using the techniques that we just described, to do a little something each day to make this a reality. And number six, it's hard to do this alone. Brian and I both connect with others, whether it's coaches or mentors or other folks that inspire us and help us to gain clarity. Even professional athletes with amazing skills surround themselves with trainers who bring out the best in them. So how can you expect to do this all alone? Hire a coach or buddy up with a friend and kick each other in the ass to get more clarity and discipline to go for what you really want. As you've probably heard me say before, even the Lone Ranger had Tano. So isolating yourself means you're dead meat.
Beautiful, man. Hey, buddy, thank you so much. I'm glad, you know, when we had that talk the other night and we were going through, you were kind of running me through your little, personal strategy meeting. I was like, gosh, you know, I got to tell this. I got to get this out there because so many guys are expecting so much of themselves, but they're not taking just the 2 to 5 minutes a day to really get focused and get clear about where they want to go and what they want to do. So I'm psyched that we made this, did this interview and getting it out there for the guys.
Me too, dude. I mean, I just love everything you're doing. That conversation was just awesome. And the practices, it's all about practices. Let's take these from theory to practice. Bring it out of the idea and just make it a part of your life. Baby step by baby step.
Awesome.
Transformation occurs.
Awesome, right, man. Okay, buddy. Thank you so much.
Talk soon.
Register for the New Man Life course at thenewmanlife.com. Again, head over to thenewmanlife.com and sign up today.